Now from Times Square, here's what you need to know.
So good to have Dr. Jen here.
Thank you, my friend.
As always, let's talk about this headline that's coming out. The CDC is investigating cases of people having bad reactions to fake Botox.
Yeah. So let me take you through it, because CDC, FDA, state and local health authorities are investigating this. But before we get to the headlines, people have to understand, when they hear this headline, the name Botox is actually a brand name. The generic term of this medication is onabotulinum toxin A. There are five FDA-approved brands that make this, that people could be getting in their doctor's offices for all kinds of indications. There is no evidence right now that these cases that are being tracked are linked to one drug maker, the one who makes the brand name Botox. It's kind of a term like Kleenex. So let me take you through what's evolving now, because it's really kind of dynamically changing over the last several days. There are a total of at least 19 people from at least 9 states at this time who have reported harmful reactions to counterfeit Botox from unlicensed or untrained individuals in non-healthcare settings. And this is important, given in people's homes or spas, where people should not be getting this type of injection. The symptoms of this, because remember, it works by paralyzing a muscle, difficulty swallowing, difficulty breathing, muscle weakness, blurry vision, or drooping eyelids. And if symptomatic, obviously, and someone's gotten a recent injection in the last couple of days, they should obviously seek out medical attention. In some of those cases, patients were treated with an antitoxin. And the thinking is, because this is counterfeit medication, that it is concentrated far beyond the diluted amounts that are in the reputable kind of brand names.
So, you know, people use Botox for more than just cosmetic
things. Right.
So there's medical reasons that people use it. So how should we go about getting it safely?
The most important thing is to get these injections from licensed providers, board certified providers in licensed settings, not in people's homes. Just because someone can use a syringe and a needle does not mean they necessarily should. I've given thousands of injections in my medical career. I am not the person who should be giving Botox for cosmetic reasons. And again, most of these cases were cosmetic indications. But if something sounds too good to be true, it usually is.
And
unfortunately,
is,
a lot of times people are doing this to save money.
Got to be careful.
Yeah.
All right, Doc, thank you.
You bet.
Well, let's turn now to ABC's Perry Ressem in D.C. with our latest headlines. Good afternoon to you, Perry.
Hey, how are you guys? We begin with the first jurors now seated in the criminal hush money case against former President Trump. Court is not in session today, but 7 jurors are sworn in. They are 3 women and 4 men, including a nurse, a teacher, 2 attorneys, and a grandpa from Puerto Rico. The foreman is originally from Ireland. The judge signaling testimony could begin next Monday. Trump is accused of falsifying business records about an alleged payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels just before the 2016 presidential election, so voters would not find out. He has denied all wrongdoing. Meanwhile, President Biden is hitting the campaign trail, speaking to supporters in Scranton, Pennsylvania. The Commonwealth is considered a must-win battleground in the upcoming November election. And the battle brewing here at the Capitol between GOP House Speaker Mike Johnson and members of his own party as Johnson works to bring foreign aid packages to the floor. Johnson telling our Rachel Scott he is not resigning. Johnson is under fire for his efforts to bring $95 billion in foreign aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan before lawmakers. He may have to rely on Democrats to push that through. And a key vote in the fight over the Civil War-era ban on abortion expected to go into effect soon in Arizona. State Democrats trying to repeal that ban in a majority vote in the House and Senate. Today, they need the help of at least 2 Republicans in both chambers to repeal it. Let's check in now with our Ginger Z and a look at your weather.
At least 24 reported tornadoes in the last 48 hours. The damage there in New London, Iowa. The Weather Service will get out there today and see what rating they can give it. But Howells, Nebraska, that was obviously a tornado. You can see that debris and the pickup of all that dirt at the bottom. Today, we could see severe storms, including tornadoes. Ypsilanti, Michigan, Detroit, Toledo, Cleveland, Columbus also in the tornado risk. But Pittsburgh down to Cincinnati, you could see damaging winds. And then another pocket in Kansas and Missouri. Tomorrow, the new storm brings Dallas-Fort Worth damaging winds and a higher tornado threat that includes St. Louis, parts of Arkansas, and even western Kentucky and Tennessee.
And this story is just wild. The hockey fan being called a hero after a close call caught on camera in Cleveland. Look at this video. A mom saying the stranger saved her 4-year-old son from an airborne puck The team tracking him down after her story went viral and the happy reunion there on the ice and the spotlight dropping the puck there together. A nice moment on the ice from a stranger who is now a friend. Great reflexes there in Cleveland.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Yeah, you know who else has great reflexes? This hockey mom over here.
Oh, yeah.
I have been known to catch a puck in my day.
A puck or two in our day. Mary, thank you. We appreciate
it. We have to say welcome. It's your first time.
Right. Thank you. Guys. I appreciate it. Very happy to be here.
All right, still ahead on GMA3 on this Wednesday, we're looking at Republican efforts to unseat their House Speaker, Mike Johnson, and the U.S. role amid the rising tensions between Israel and Iran. Congressman Jason Crow of Colorado joins us from Washington.
Plus, how theater exercises are helping to bring healing to the interactions between law enforcement and civilians. GMA3, when we come back.
Spirit. Welcome back to GMA3. How will Israel respond? That is the question that the world is asking as Israel plans its response to Iran's unprecedented aerial attack just days ago. Iran's attack coming after an Israeli strike in Syria, which killed a top Iranian commander.
The White House saying the U.S. will issue new sanctions against Iran in the coming days. Joining us now is Colorado Congressman and member of the House Intelligence and Foreign Affairs Committee's Representative Jason Crow. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having me on.
So with the growing concern of wider conflicts in that region, what do you think the U.S.'s role should be there?
Well, we have several important roles. The first priority always is to protect Americans and American facilities and our service members. That is our primary responsibility and our duty, and that's exactly what the Biden administration is doing. They did that extremely successfully on Saturday during the attacks, thwarting essentially the entire attack coming from Iran. The second responsibility is to defend our ally Israel and make sure that they're protected as well. And there's a lot of U.S. citizens, a lot of Americans who live in Israel, so both of those priorities overlap. And then the third is to prevent de-escalation. We don't want a broader Middle East war. We have to prevent that. That doesn't serve anybody's interests. So how do we figure out how to de-escalate this? What are the off-ramps available is a really important question here.
House Speaker Johnson has announced his plan to break up the Senate-passed foreign aid bill, and he wants to break it up into four individual bills. And he wants, of course, to allow separate votes on aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. What's your thought on his plan?
Well, my thought is we need to get this done yesterday, right? The Ukrainians are fighting, they're dying, they're doing incredibly brave and courageous things. I actually just did a FaceTime yesterday with a bunch of Ukrainian special forces in a bunker fighting on the front lines, and they told me they're almost out of ammunition. They're going to have to pull back because they don't have ammunition anymore. So we have to do this. This is in America's self-interest, our national security interest to get this done. So we have to get it done. I think Johnson's major mistake here is that he continues to try to appease extremists, legislative extremists. There's a group of people in Congress right now who don't want to govern. They don't want to legislate. They say as much. They just want to perform, you know, political theater. They want likes on Twitter. They just want people's attention. Stop trying to appease these folks and just do the right thing. Just put a bipartisan bill forward that has a lot of support and let's get this done.
Let's talk a little bit more about Ukraine, because you've said about the U.S. aid to Ukraine, this is not charity. And we heard you just say there that this was in our best interest for security. Explain that thinking.
Yeah, so there's a number of American interests here. Number one is our economic interests. So Europe is our largest trading partner. We have U.S. companies, we have direct economic ties. Many states do tremendous amounts of trade with Europe. So we have to make sure that Europe is safe and prosperous and stable. And if the European continent is at war, that's bad for our businesses, that's bad for our economy. Number two, Ukraine is the producer of a lot of grain and wheat. That's often called the breadbasket of Europe and of the world. So making sure that food supplies are secure and food prices stay low is really important. Number three, there's hundreds of thousands of Americans who live and do business in Europe. There's 83,000 U.S. service members stationed in Europe now, so protecting those Americans as well. And number four, you know, standing by democracies, making sure that democracies are strong and the freedom-loving people of the world can stand together is really important.
There is a motion right now to remove Speaker Johnson, and the second Republican, Congressman Thomas Massie of Kentucky, has announced his intention to co-sponsor that motion. Speaker Johnson has said he will not resign. So what's your reaction to this attempt?
My reaction is people just need to get on board and we need to govern. right? Stop playing political games. Stop trying to oust people just because you disagree with them and remove them from their positions. Listen, this is what this place is about, right? Capitol Hill is about having debates, arriving at better solutions, figuring out something that everybody can live with. And when you have a compromise, nobody's perfectly happy. You know, people that have this mentality that, you know, it's my way or the highway, I want all or nothing. But when you have that mentality, guess what? You get nothing. Right? And the American people deserve better than that. We deserve collaboration. We deserve people who are interested in having real debates to move policy forward.
Colorado Congressman Jason Crow, thank you so much for
being
with us.
Thank you.
When we come back, building connection through creativity.
We're going to take you to a unique theater group fostering a deeper sense of community between police and the people that they serve. Back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back now with a unique theater workshop, Making Art and Hope Out of Conflict. The workshop was created after the death of Eric Garner at the hands of police in New York City. And the program allows civilians and law enforcement to use actor training techniques to foster empathy and community.
When I watched that Eric Garner video over and over and over again, ad infinitum, you go through stages of grief. And I was so upset by that that I wrote an angry letter to Commissioner Bratton. When I wrote to Bratton, I said, I think you need what actors do. You know, we learn to listen. We learn to talk to each other. So we got this call saying, come down and talk about a pilot program to protect, serve, and understand. That sort of started as a placeholder name. And I said, well, so what are we doing ultimately with this program? We're seeking understanding. The beauty of this program is it's not just talking to each other, but what do you do with what comes up during those conversations? What do you do with, I think you might kill me? If you leave it at that, it festers, it goes back and forth between theatrical play and deep, intense conversation. It's a credit to the department that they still are allowing us to do it after 8 years because they have no control over the content.
Get out of the car.
Don't touch me.
Get out of the car.
So I came into the program in 2017, and this was brought to me, interestingly enough, by a colleague. And I was like, that's nuts. Like, who is going to volunteer to do that? You were being stretched. That growth process was not easy. I do believe it was after the third workshop that I was like, I'm not coming back. But I also knew that I committed to something and I needed to see it through.
Immediately you feel the tension as to, like, people like looking to see, oh, he must be a cop, she must be a cop. So automatically you're on a defensive. The idea, for at least for me, is not to walk away with someone liking the cops more or disliking the cops more. It's about really understanding of the human nature of what people are.
There's no perfect answer to the police-civilian relationship. There's no perfect solution, but there is an opportunity to be in a space that you are working to see the other person.
No perfect answer, but we can start by talking and getting along and understanding
being human
each other.
Yeah, each
being
other.
Human. You're so right.
Up next here on GMA3, Dr. Jen's strategies for tracking food allergies.
We are listening, and later on, you know him, you love him, actor and activist George Takei joins us on his new picture book based on a difficult moment in history from his own childhood. Come on back.
We're back now with Dr. Jen, and this is your specialty, yeah. OBGYN. There's, mm-hmm. We're looking at a shortage.
Yeah, this was a headline that got my attention. There's an estimate. Well, first of all, right now, there's already a shortage of board-certified practicing OBGYNs. There are about 50,000 in the country. That's data from 2018. That is way fewer than are needed. We're really considered the primary care physicians for women with specialized surgical training, of course. But guess what? It's about to get a lot worse. By 2030, there is estimated there will be a further shortage, down by 5,000. So 5,000 fewer OBGYNs at that time. And I think that right now the theories in terms of reasons for this are, you know, obviously the big one, the big headline in the last 2 years is legislation, and doctors in certain states quite literally risking prison time, not just losing their license, but jail time for providing care to women that we've been trained to do. But then aging workforce, you know, a lot of doctors over the age of 55 who are, you know, maybe thinking about retiring, being forced to kind of consider that sooner rather than later because of everything that goes on. And then anyone in healthcare knows that right now, if you divide up the time in a pie chart of what we spend our day doing when we're talking about seeing patients, a small part of it, unfortunately, is clinical direct patient care. A huge part of it is paperwork, forms, low reimbursement from insurance companies where doctors quite literally can't afford to continue practicing. This is going to be a massive problem. And it's also occurring in Europe, by the way.
So how do we change this for the better? I mean, you think about rural areas like the Mississippi Delta. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they have to drive like an hour or two to Jackson.
There's no one in
just
the county.
To get treatment.
I mean, it's a complicated issue, and I'll work on it in my spare time.
All right, we hope so. Back in a moment. Stay with us. All right, let me hear Dr. Jen. Oh. Welcome back to GMA 3, What Do You Need to Know? And it's a girl, everybody. The folks at Busch Gardens in Tampa Bay are really excited about this one, a rare baby orangutan. They are considered critically endangered, and Mama Luna and her adorable baby said to be doing great and getting stronger every single day.
You know that they were, apparently, they did delivered that little baby by C-section because she was breech. I would have loved to do that C-section.
Look at this one right here. Go ahead and do it for us. Just go like this. Yeah, that's how she cries.
Any kind of baby, anything. I just love it.
That baby is very cute.
Very cute.
Dr. Jen, you can see, is back. And we're going to take a look at one of your health and wellness questions. This one I'm really curious about. It's from Scarlett T. Can food allergies be prevented?
Short answer is no, because we don't really totally understand what causes them in the first place. Likely multifactorial, a number of different elements at play, from genetics, which is probably a big one, environmental exposure. There are some people who believe, as a theory, that people who eat a diverse diet kind of build in some protection. But as we know, a lot of people are born with food allergies. I was 37 years old when I developed my life-threatening food allergy.
37,
and I have a very strong allergic family history. So obviously there's genetics at play. So right now, the first step in anything in medicine is figuring out what the cause is, then we can move to prevention.
All right, your prescription for wellness.
All right, today has to do with how to track food allergy symptoms if you think you may be allergic or sensitive to something. So number one, you know, it's about kind of keeping a food diary. You want to take note of what you ate and how much you ate over a period of time. You want to detail all symptoms, literally, like where, how it was prepared, your physical symptoms. Put it all on there, and you also want to record the time of allergic reaction in terms of its proximity to when you actually ate. Did it happen seconds after, minutes after? Hours, if hours, how many hours after? All of this is important. The more information you can give, ideally, to an allergist, the more helpful that will be. And then it's usually skin testing and some blood tests as well.
What happens if it's a food that you love? Dairy.
That was me, my friend. Mm. And you know what? When your life is at stake or your allergy symptoms are so severe, so unpleasant, to me, for example, one of them is shrimp that I'm allergic to. It's as if it's cardboard. It's not even in my mindset that I
you
could
find a way
that
to
I miss it because
whatever,
yeah. I know I can't eat it.
Because you like your life.
Correct. Mm-hmm. More
I
than
think
shrimp.
We all like
That's
life, right?
Yeah.
Doc, thank you very much. And folks, we would love to hear from you. So please hit us up on Instagram with all of your medical questions for Dr. Jen at ABC GMA3. Well, still ahead on GMA3, taking a chapter from his own life in a new book for children, Star Trek actor and activist George Takei joins us.
And we have Tori Johnson here helping us celebrate Earth Day with her eco-friendly deals and steals. We're back in a bit.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' group text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone, to GMA3. His characters and catchphrases are known and loved around the entire world. And now he's back with a touching children's book about his early life, the icon, George Takei.
Yeah, Takei spent several years as a child living in internment camps with his family during World War II, an experience that he has never forgotten. And here to share more is the legend himself, George Takei.
Thank you very much for that introduction.
This is a beautiful book. Why did you think it was so important to tell it and tell it in this way in a picture book for children?
Well, ultimately, it all comes down to my appreciation and love for my parents, because they're the ones that made it possible for me to survive, and they gave us the values that made it possible for me to carry on through life. So this is a tribute. My lost freedom is a tribute to my parents and to the love they gave me.
And aside from good storytelling, the pictures you mentioned it are extremely beautiful here. What was it like to work with illustrator Michelle Lee?
She is a gifted artist, as you can see from that cover. But my favorite is on the backside of the book, that there. We were incarcerated in the swamps of Arkansas. All 10 camps were in the most desolate and God-forbidden places. There were some in the blistering hot desert of Arizona. We happened to be in the swamps of Arkansas. And so you see the picture framed by the ominous dark trees that grew out, loomed up from the black waters of the swamp. And then there's the barbed wire fence, and the other side is sunny and two kids. I was 5 years old, and my brother Henry was 4 years old. And there's our mother right by the barracks there with a little baby girl.
Right here.
She was our sister. But that's our story. And my father talked about seeing his two boys playing on that dirt road there and seeing the barbed wire fence behind them. He said he had so much hope when we were born and ambition for us. And there he saw his two boys playing by a barbed wire fence. And he thought, what kind of future are my children going to have? And it tore him apart. And remembering what my father told me as a teenager and writing books about that period, and remembering my father's anguish, I found myself sobbing at the computer. It was a painful experience for him. And to think of his sons as not, or not knowing what kind of future we're gonna have, with barbed wire fences, soldiers guarding over us, sentry towers with machine guns pointed at us. It was a horrific period for my parents.
Could only
imagine. They protected us and tried to give us as much normality as possible. The cover has me with our stray dog, Blackie, who we found sniffing near the back of the mess hall for food. And we embraced him, got him to be a part of the family. We fed him whatever we could beg from the cooks at the mess hall. And he was our beloved Blackie. But when the war was over, we couldn't take him with us. And that was for Henry and me a heartbreaking thing, to be driven away and see Blackie barking frantically.
That's so heartbreaking to hear, too. The love you have for your father is so very clear. You've said he was very involved in the community. He really loved democracy. How did that shape how you turned out, what you cared about?
Well, I remember seeing him. He was elected block manager at both camps that we were in, the one in the swamps, and later to a higher security camp called Segregation Camp for Disloyals in that desolate. We were taken from the swamps of Arkansas to the dry lake bed of Northern California, right by the Oregon border. And at both camps, he was elected block manager. He was to deal with the unrest within the camp, as well as dealing with the camp administrators, whatever orders. He made speeches after meals in the mess hall, and took the problems that we had within the block to the, he was sort of like the congressman from within the barbed wire fences. And and he was elected that because he was fluent in both Japanese and English, and he was able to communicate with the immigrant generation as well as the American-born English-speaking generation. And he, you know, there's a lot of anguish and anger and desolation within the camp. And people were in their bubbles. He felt that we needed to build a sense of community rather than each one in their private anguish. And he was a baseball player in San Francisco growing up, and he played other Japanese-American teams around San Francisco Bay, San Jose, Palo Alto, Oakland, Berkeley. And he thought maybe building a baseball diamond might bring the community together. And sure enough, it did. We went out there to cheer for Daddy pitching one game, or our friend Eddie's uncle playing first base, and that brought the community together. He said, when you're living in an anguished position and you're trying to endure, to survive, he said, the Japanese word for endurance is gaman. Gaman isn't just muscle flexing, teeth gritting strength. It's the ability to know why we're enduring, to find beauty under harsh circumstances, and to make our own happiness under those horrific circumstances. And he built a baseball diamond, which brought people together. He saw that the young people, the teenagers, were getting into all sorts of trouble. He managed to borrow a record player from the camp administration, and every month, the teenagers had their dances in the mess hall after dinner. The tables were dragged away, the benches were put off by the walls, and they had their dances But we were very young, so my mother put us to bed. Our barrack was right across from the mess hall. And I drifted off to sleep, listening to the big band sound of Tommy Dorsey or Benny Goodman wafting over.
And what a peaceful way to go to sleep as well. We're so grateful for you for sharing your story, and I'm sure this book is going to resonate with so many people. George, good to see you. Thanks for coming on.
And how proud your parents
must have been. Thank you very much.
Yes. And by the way, his book, My Lost Freedom, is available everywhere that books are sold.
Up next here on GMA3, we're going shopping with Tori.
Oh, yes, we are. And legendary rapper Jeezy is back in the house. He's talking hip-hop and the White House. Stay with us. All right, welcome back, everyone. It is time for another Deals and Steals, and we are joined by our very own Tori Johnson, and we are celebrating Earth Day a little early for these eco-friendly products right here, all at great savings.
Yeah, she's always got the deals, and
yes,
if you want to stock up on these deals, just point your cell phone camera to that QR code right there on your screen. You can start shopping. What do we have
as
here?
As Ginger says, like, every day is Earth Day, right?
Yes,
you should
it
care
is
about Earth Day every single day. And so we've got lots of eco-friendly benefits for you. First up, from Shore Bags, these are just durable classics. Mm. I'm holding one of their jute totes, the anti-plastic jute tote. What's awesome about these is they're so easy to fold up, to have available to you. Those are their
away
more heavy-duty, durable canvas.
Nice.
That one in front is extremely
grocery
popular.
Bag, right?
Yep, and it's got all those pockets
too
around the side so that you can use it if you've got, you want to put bottles in there,
a
you
picnic
can use it for gardening, crafting, mm-hmm, picnic.
It matches
and what's
my outfit.
It does match your outfit. It does match your outfit. And what's so smart about these is they're incredibly well made, so it's a bag that's going to last you. And the better well made something is, the less times you have to replace it, and that's part of sustainable living.
Durability
everything from
matters.
Shore Bag slash and half starts at $17.50.
Mm-hmm.
I okay needed one of these this morning.
Yes. So, Spatty, this is the tool,
is this
the spatula that allows you to get every single last drop from your containers.
Oh.
So, whether it's cosmetics, condiments, crafting supplies, anything where it's almost impossible to get that little last bit at the bottom,
that
will stick right into there,
yes,
and you can
out
get any bit out.
Wow.
So, you save money, less waste on products, and you get your money's worth.
You don't have to put water
worth
in it and
you don't
it
have
out
to put water in it and dilute it, which doesn't work very well,
mm-hmm,
when you, you know, with certain products, you don't want to put water in them. These are so smart. They're washable, reusable, starting at $250.
Love it.
Yes. Okay. Kohl's Wild Bird Feed. This is one of the favorites at GMA. We've got a big variety of options from them. We've got feeders as well as all of their Made in America feed. They don't wash it with all kinds of extra chemicals before packaging and storing. No, it's a type of feed. This one right here you're talking about. Yes, sorry, this one is a dried worm feed.
Ooh.
I thought you were referring to what's back there. Yeah, it's a type of bird feed. Here's what's important. If you have an issue though with mammals coming in to eat out of your bird feeder, that's then keeping the birds away and attracting animals that you don't necessarily want in your yard. They've got this right here, which is their Flaming Squirrel seed sauce, and when you add that into the bird feed, it's a taste that mammals just don't like. So it's a humane way to keep kind of a bird-only cafe
a
in your backyard.
Way.
Yes, yes.
It's like
so
putting hot sauce on your bird.
It's not poisonous. It's, you know, they can taste it, but they don't like the taste. So then they wind up staying away from it, and you've got your bird-only cafe
and your bird
in
doesn't
your backyard.
Mind it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then you get to attract the birds, which is the whole purpose of having these gorgeous feeders. These start at $14.
Love it.
I need to send my sister this one. I saw it.
Which one?
The one my sister has the best
has
sister.
Has the best sister. Yeah, of course. That's
I'll
perfect
send it to her, right?
Yeah, sister. Yeah. These are great from Wildwood Landing. Tea towels that help replace paper towels so you lessen your reliance on disposable. They're absorbent, highly absorbent. Plus, they add a little laugh in the kitchen. These start at $8.
I love this. Sometimes I open my mouth and my mother comes out.
There you go. Okay, real paper. So, you know, tens of thousands of trees are cut down every day to make toilet paper and paper towels.
Mm-hmm.
Not with these. There is no tree in this. It is 100% bamboo, which is sustainable. It is easy to grow. It is renewable. And so you've got not only no trees in this, but also absolutely no plastic in any of the packaging. When you walk down that paper towel row, you know, you typically see tons of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
None of that here. It's sustainable, durable, works just as good as
the
whatever you use
good,
now,
yeah,
but the quality is fabulous. The bundles start at
$22. I have a problem with people who have cheap toilet paper.
That's, they're not going to have a problem with
yeah
that. ESW Beauty. I love this skincare. So I think that's a mango lip balm, which is so soothing and fabulous. But really what I love about them are these products here. These little masks. This one, watermelon, rose water, grapefruit. They're all cruelty-free, vegan formulations, clean formulas. They use all kinds of raw juices, nothing toxic, no chemicals, clean beauty that makes your face feel good. We've got them everything from firming, nourishing, moisturizing.
A juice mask.
The lip ones, though, pretty fabulous. These start $3, so it's an easy indulgence.
Amazing. Thank you, Tori. And, of course, you partner with all these small businesses for all the deals that you've seen today. So if you want to shop, scan that QR code on your screen or visit our website.
We love seeing Tori. Tori, again, thank you. When we come back, hip-hop star Jeezy is in the house.
His anthem, My President, made music history. Now he's part of a new documentary called Hip-Hop and the White House. Stay with us.
NWA and those guys connected me because it was in the language that I speak.
The Clinton years, we saw the growth of hip-hop.
When Ye said George Bush doesn't care about black people, that was supremely important.
Black people were seen on television begging for help, and nobody came.
In 2020, Obama put me on his summer playlist.
He did need a validation of his blackness.
If you know, you know. Some people might have saw him do that and thought, oh, okay. They don't know that that was an anthem.
Welcome back.
Get that dirt off your shoulders there. Yeah.
That was Jay-Z. A clip from the new documentary, Hip Hop and the White House, a film following the relationship between hip hop and politics.
So fascinating, right? And our next guest serves as the executive producer and narrator of the doc. Please welcome back to the show the legendary rapper, Jeezy. And looking good, by the way, man. I said you're doing something good.
Yeah, keep staying out the way.
Staying out the way. So tell us about this, Hip Hop and the White House. How did it come together and why now?
I think now is timing. And I think that when you think about hip hop and politics, I mean, they basically rule our country and our world. Because they are, you know, when you think about politics, it is politics, it's hip-hop. Hip-hop is just now 50. And think about how much influence we've had on politics. Most presidents aren't, they're older than 50 when they get in the White House. And hip-hop is just 50, and look how much influence we had. So I think it's time.
And did President Obama have something to do with, you know, just the norm of recognizing hip-hop? I knew you had a hit song, My President, but it was before Barack became president.
I wouldn't just say he had something to do with it. I think since the beginning, when you think about Eazy-E being the first one of us to go to the White House, LL Cool J, you know, those guys, it was already a connection there. And I think Barack just made it cool because he understood
that part.
He understood it when he, you know, that was like the bat call. You know what I'm saying? I see you guys.
Why was it so important for you to be a part of this project?
I am hip hop. I am entrepreneurship. I am culture. And I think even for myself, you know, I'm learning a lot, and I hope this documentary helps people to learn and understand politics, because we don't really get politics on our end when we're growing up. We didn't know why the president was the president, why the city council is the city council and all these things. You just thought that's how the world worked. And watching this documentary will enlighten people, you know what I'm saying? It's very enlightening. It's very educational for somebody who doesn't understand hip hop or politics.
So that was what I was just going to ask you. I mean, there may not be many people who don't know anything, but let's say you're coming to the genre of music cold.
Right.
What do you think, you know, maybe top three things that people will be surprised that they learn from this?
Oh, just how much hip hop influenced politics. You know, I mean, I personally know that myself. You know, when Joe Biden got in last term, you know, he had to come sit and talk to us personally, but you had to know we was the ones that got those votes. The black and the brown people were the ones that got those votes. You had to know that. And I'm not endorsing anybody, by the way. But I just think that, you know, hip hop has always had the ability to mobilize people. It's a movement. It's one person speaks, millions of people listen, and we're able to mobilize. And I think that that's the part that, you know, I want the world to see, that, you know, we do have a power in our art form, and it's not just violence, and it's not just negative energy.
And speaking of mobilizing, I mean, when you see presidential candidates now at their campaign rallies, I mean, right. they come up on the stage mm-hmm. with hip-hop playing. Right. You know, it's like a song that brings them up there.
Yeah.
Does it shock you to see that, you know, even the candidates are like on both sides of the
yeah.
aisle?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when Barack called me out to do My President is Black when he came to Atlanta, I thought that was cool, you know. It just felt right, you know. He had a theme song, and I was, you know, I'm like the Atlanta president, so it worked out. You know what I'm saying? Two presidents.
Two presidents. I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You are Atlanta royalty, G.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for
Thank
being
you guys
here
for
with
having
us.
Me. April 22nd.
Yeah, and you can catch Anscape's Hip Hop in the White House premiering April 22nd, as he just said, exclusively on Hulu. Mm-hmm.
And that is what you need to know for today. I'm DeMarco Morgan.
I'm Eva Pilgrim.
And I'm Dr. Jen Ashton.
For all of us here at ABC News and Jeezy, make it a great one.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.